and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Truly, this is a network that the Lord is building by His grace, His mercies, and our partners and sponsors that are standing with us. Ferguson's in the news. Last night at midnight, during a protest in Ferguson, Missouri, two officers were under gunfire. From reports are over approximately 100 foot away, they saw muzzle flashes coming towards them. And as you can see right here behind me, officers are, ducking down behind buildings. They're trying to, find the particular suspects. And two officers were shot last night. Officers that were on the street to be able to protect the First Amendment rights of the protesters on the streets. One was shot in his face right about here, according to the police chief, and it's lodged right behind his neck, right here behind his ear. And the other officer was shot right here in his shoulder area, and it came out, reports are, between his clavicle and his spine. But the officers are alive, and we need to keep them in our prayers. And it was it's your crazy days going on in our country. But first, I want you to see, this is some footage that somebody took, from Ferguson last night at midnight, just a few hours ago, as we can see what took place. They're protesting. What they're doing is protesting, and the officers that are protecting them, all of a sudden you start hearing gunfire, and you hear people coming. Listen to this. Watch this.
Okay, there was just gunfire, and now cops have guns drawn. It's on the hill, up there. They came from behind us. Are you okay, Carl? you're just gonna stand there and barbecue? Jesus, you're awfully calm.
They're done. They got guns.
Yeah, they still have guns.
This is what is it coming to in our nation? What is taking place in our nation? We got to stand up and begin to say, we cannot do this. You think about how many people just promoted this whole, anger against authority. Police officers are being shot who are sitting in their car now. In New York, eating their foods, or they were just sitting there on patrol, and the man comes up and shoots them inside of their cruiser, and it's happening again and again. It's almost like our authority in Washington, D.C. is against the authority everywhere in the land, not standing up for the authority that's going on. And especially when you look at Ferguson, what's taking place right there, there were some injustices that's happened in Ferguson, but this is not the answer to this. The answer to it is justice. And you heard somebody make a comment in the crowd. They said, if you would have acknowledged this 9 months ago, you deserve this. These officers didn't deserve to be shot. That's not who we are as a people. That's definitely not who we are, as Christians and as American citizens. That's not who we are. We have First Amendment rights. We have the right for this protection. So when you think about it, this is the first ambulance right here that's taken off. The first officer that was shot. And here's the second ambulance that's carrying off the second officer. And the reports are from the police chief just this morning in a live report that they are looking for the perpetrators. It appeared like a muzzle flash. You're coming from 100 foot away. I know when I was in law enforcement and I was effecting an arrest myself, it was a dark night and you couldn't see hardly anybody around, and I was trying to arrest the person, and somebody was hiding behind a building, and all I saw was the muscle flash that came out from behind that building, and you know, praise God, you know, I'm here. I didn't get shot and didn't get hit. But these two officers got shot from a pistol report. So they don't really know, based on the weapon, the bullet entry and the bullet itself and how it landed and what they heard, they're thinking that it's a pistol. Well, if you shoot, you know, with a pistol from 100 yards away, potentially, they're thinking that's a good shot, which means they were aiming to kill these officers. I mean, we have to wake up. And it's almost like a tipping point where people are trying to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And the media is just feeding into this frenzy. And it's like, we have to stop doing that and begin to understand that we are e pluribus unum. You know, though we're many, we're one. This is what you're hearing on media continually. You know, though we're one, we're many. That's not it. It's e pluribus unum. Look at the dollar bill. In God we trust and e pluribus unum. That's our logo. That's who we are. That's our motto, not logo. Our motto as a country. And that's what's so great about it. We have this great diversity and we come together and we're all, you know, Americans, and it's built on a Judeo-Christian values, which, you know, it allows for great diversity. I think only Christianity allows for such diversity, and Judaism allows for diversity. So here we are, you know, you're watching, you know, this tragedy just take place. And you think about this, that you got to make sure you join us in tomorrow's program, because we are going to bring to you the reality of how could young people start doing these things? How can these shootings and this violence and all the things we're seeing in France and that we're seeing, you know, take place in the United States Navy base in Washington, D.C. with this man with a rifle and the shooter just starts walking through this Navy base and starts shooting people like they're not human beings. Or you're looking at ISIS and what's taking place, and they're just, you know, they're burning. A little small boy just yesterday was part of ISIS. Obviously, he was, you know, that young of an age, was just taught these things. And he walks up and shoots a man and kills him in the name of Islam and radical Islam. And so with this, it's like, what are we doing? What's going on? Well, you're going to find out in tomorrow's program. You got to get, I'm telling you. You set your DVRs to get it. If you're going to be somewhere, don't forget you can get them at vfntv.com. But tomorrow we're going to be talking about, we've got to find out what is the seabed of this violence. Because the strange thing is, you know, our Attorney General, Eric Holder, you know, is coming in for justice. And it looks like some good things are happening in the context of that, the methodologies of how it's happening. You know, is interesting, but you look at the history of America, the methodologies of history of how things were done in other departments and other states, you know, you can't say, well, you know, either way, it's like, but why didn't you stop Grand Theft Auto? This virtual murdering, robbing, killing, woman brutalizing, police shooting, virtual games that over 43 or 34 million people around the world play this game. And there's over 331 weapons in this. Think about it, 34 million. And after the Navy base shooting, we'll have this for you tomorrow, but there was a Navy base shooting where a man walks through with his rifle and or shotgun and begins just shooting people at random like it was a virtual game. And we're going to show you what the game looks like, and you'll notice it looks exactly like what just happened at midnight just a few hours ago in Ferguson, where people were shooting the police. I got a question, because right after that shooting after the shooting took place in the United States Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., guess what? Grand Theft Auto left loose their next version, and within 48 hours, they sold over $800,000 worth of that, $800 million worth of that new release, and then in 3 days, they sold over $1 billion worth of what? Of murder, of shooting police. I mean, you're going to see firsthand. We're going to show you the actual shooter going through this Navy base, and then we're going to show you Grand Theft Auto and show you how identically it looks just like that and how it looks what just took place in Ferguson. And speaking of that, Homeland Security, it's almost like they knew this. We talked about this before on VFN TV. We've talked about this, you know, because it's prophetic. We're letting you know the news in advance so we can do something with the news that we know. But they, it's almost like they knew this because they produced a video in Houston. I'm fixing to show you in just this moment. And it's like they're preparing for these scenes. They're preparing America to what, for what? Remember that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. This is what the enemy wants. The enemy wants people that are the enemy of America, the enemy of Jews and Christians. They just want to create fear. Because when a man is fearful, when a man is fearful, he begins to fear for his life. That's when he begins to make decisions instead of saying, you know what, we're supposed to deny our life, pick up our cross and follow the Lord. But look at this video. It's almost like they knew this was taking place. Right here, this is in Houston. This is Homeland Security. And they're telling us that we need to prepare for these things. They knew this was going to happen. Why? Because look at the atmosphere of fear that's being created. Look at the networking. Look at the Saul Alinsky tactics that are being used around the world. And it's like they're just kind of escalating the fear. And look at this. None of this really makes sense when you see this video that we talked about. Take a look at this now.
It may feel like just another day at the office. But occasionally, life feels more like an action movie than reality. The authorities are working hard to protect you and to protect our public spaces. But sometimes, bad people do bad things. Their motivations are different. The warning signs may vary, but the devastating effects are the same. And unfortunately, you need to be prepared for the worst. If you were ever to find yourself in the middle of an active shooter event, your survival may depend on whether or not you have a plan. The plan doesn't have to be complicated. There are three things you could do that make a difference. Run, hide, fight. First and foremost, if you can get out, do. Always try and escape or evacuate even when others insist on staying. Encourage others to leave with you, but don't let them slow you down with indecision. Remember what's important, you, not your stuff. Leave your belongings behind and try to find a way to get out safely. Trying to get yourself out of harm's way needs to be your number one priority. Once you are out of the line of fire, try to prevent others from walking into the danger zone and call 911. If you can't get out safely, you need to find a place to hide. Act quickly and quietly. Try to secure your hiding place the best you can. Turn out lights, and if possible, remember to lock doors. Silence your ringer and vibration mode on your cell phone. And if you can't find a safe room or closet, try to conceal yourself behind large objects that may protect you. Do your best to remain quiet and calm. As a last resort, If your life is at risk, whether you are alone or working together as a group, fight. Act with aggression. Improvise weapons. Disarm him. And commit to taking the shooter down, no matter what. Try to be aware of your environment. Always have an exit plan. Know that in an incident like this, victims are generally chosen randomly. The event is unpredictable and may evolve quickly. The first responders on the scene are not there to evacuate or tend to the injured. They are well trained and are there to stop the shooter. Your actions can make a difference for your safety and survival. Be aware and be prepared. And if you find yourself facing an active shooter, there are three key things you need to remember to survive. Run, hide, fight.
Can you, that's actually Homeland Security, and it didn't just happen yesterday. They knew this was coming. They knew what was happening. They knew the environment. They knew the strategy of what they're going to do on the borders. They knew they were going to do this, you know, fast and furious things with the you know, weapons to mobs in Mexico. They knew that they were going to flood the borders with people who are innocent, people who are looking for refuge, but also, according to Kamal Saleem, people who have a hatred towards America and want to damage or hurt America, Americans. And you're looking right here. This image right here that you're looking at right now, I don't know if you can see this right here, this is Grand Theft Auto. And what you saw, this is a virtual game, it's a digital game that kids, 34 million people play around the world. But this is just what happened in Ferguson last night. We're going to have to wake up. And listen, it's not to be afraid, it's to stand up. More we get up from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What happens when the ACLJ wins a court case? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, when you pursue litigation against the ACLU, do you go after punitive damages and reimbursement of legal expenses?
Well, no, that's a great question. In some cases, you're entitled to damages. In some cases, it's just an injunction, which is you're trying to get a law declared unconstitutional. But let me give you an example. In the RICO case, the National Organization for Women with the Plaintiffs, we were awarded in that case, we'll be awarded what's called costs. Now, the costs in a case like that are six figures. I mean, it's probably, you know, deposition fees and all this, probably a couple of $100,000. So you get costs. And sometimes you do get damages. It depends on the nature of the cases. So there are times when you will get a punitive damage verdict, but that depends really on the jury.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're looking at right here, I guess over me or behind me, of, you know, some images of what took place in Ferguson a few hours ago. And if you've been, you know, with us in our audience now for over the years, as we've been talking prophetically about what's going on, it's here. I mean, the goal of those who have evil plans in store for this is the you're seeing the background right here. This is the Ferguson Police Force, you know, carrying away one of the officers that was shot. They're alive.
Thank God.
Keep them in your prayers. And in one of the comments were from the crowd was, I mean, this is, you have to understand, hatred towards you is not the only hatred that exists.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's hating towards you, that's wrong. But if you're hating towards them, that's wrong. You know, and, you know, Dr. King said it over and over again. He says, you know, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
And to sit there and say to an officer that was just shot in the face and shot in his shoulder, just barely missing, from what I understand, his back, which could have been paralyzed for his life, you know, this wouldn't have happened if you would have done this, if you would have actually said something 9 months ago. You have to understand that there's nothing righteous in that statement at all. There's nothing just in the statement at all. I mean, that's all evil. Just because someone hates us, somebody has oppressed us, somebody has done something to us, there is no theology in God that says you can hate a hater. I mean, it's not going to work. It's just the devil who's having a field day, the stronghold that created that one that was hating towards you, now that you're participating in the hatred, it's getting stronger because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness. And if you focus all your attention on who you perceive treated you unjustly, a person, you're missing the whole thing. It was what was behind the person.
Yeah. You know? I mean, what would modern-day Germany today look like if Jews were strapping their bombs to themselves and blowing up places in Germany because of the Holocaust? At a certain place, you got to come to a place of forgiveness and recognize it's not people, but it's the spiritual forces that we're fighting against, Ephesians 6.
You know, and you look at, you know, the difference between, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. Malcolm X felt like, you know, he was seeing all the pain and the injustices, things going on. He got influenced by Islam.
By any means necessary.
You know, the thing is that when he was in jail, they actually came and just kind of surrounded him and he balled into Islam. But guess what? When he decided to go out of that, they took him out. It was actually two followers of
Islam.
Nation of Islam, which is, I can't think of his name right now. But when he saw what it was about, he pulled out of it, and they weren't going to have it. So two of the followers came, and they shot him.
Louis Farrakhan.
Two of Louis Farrakhan's followers. And so he felt like Dr. King, you know, this peace thing and this, you know, staying in order and, you know, love. I mean, how can you love? These people hate us. And he was right.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't work. I mean, look at the difference in the two. Both of their lives ended, you know, tragically. Both of them did. So that the outcomes, you think about it, was tragically. But there's two huge outcomes here. The one outcome is, you know, what you know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love. I mean, how many people can really love haters? You know, if you missed Miriam, this 8-10-year-old girl in Iraq.
Not 18, young girl, maybe 10.
8 or 10.
Yeah.
8 or 10. But she preached to the world.
Mm.
And you got to see this. You got to go on VFNTV.com, go to the torch. You got to see her. And, you know, here she is. You know, ISIS has killed her neighbors, has beheaded people that she's known, ran her and her family out of her house. She's in a 4-month refugee camp, you know, and they're interviewing her, and they're asking some real good questions, questions that we got to learn. That's called asking an 8-year-old that question. You know, you don't ask, you know, anyway. Well, I won't talk about it. Yeah. She knew more theology than a lot. He's like, wow. And he asked her, you know, specifically, and I wish I had a clip of it. I'd show it to you, just that one part. But she said, you know, he said, do you hate? But, you know, do you hate these people? And she's like, no, I don't hate them. I forgive them.
Mm.
I mean, she forgave ISIS. She forgave ISIS. An 8-year-old child forgave ISIS. And she said the only one that. And then she says, God loves everyone, every man. She says the only one that God doesn't love is Satan.
Mm.
I mean, she nailed Ephesians 6:12. Boom. And she also, the Sermon on the Mount says, you know, we're known by our love. You know, if we're treated badly, we're supposed to love those who treat us badly. We cannot hate. And the thing about it is, think about this. It don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your outcome? You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah.
But if it's not, I mean, is your outcome, do you want vengeance? Do you want revenge? Or do you want things to be resolved? Do you want, you know, something to
change,
good to come out of it, to change? And there's two things going on in regards to the nation of America. There's a huge injustice that's going on. That's gone on mm-hmm. for years. And, you know, people are just saying, like, you know, let's just get over it. It's like, hey, it's
easy,
you
to
know,
say.
And they're talking about this one thing now versus like, no, this is a thing I want to use to talk about everything. And they're going like, I don't want to talk about everything, but this thing right here, you were wrong with this thing. Mm-hmm. So, but the other thing going on is that injustice that was done to maybe you, maybe me, whoever, there's people out there trying to prostitute it. They're trying to take it and use it to push their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong for justice. Justice is God's a just God that sits on a throne called justice. I mean, he's a just God. He is into justice. Read the Bible. I mean, he's into justice. But the only justice we all can have, of course, is at the cross because we'd all suffer. So it's not wrong for us to want to live up to God's expectations for humanity, for our Constitution, you know, equal rights for everybody and all of that. But we have to be careful that people don't prostitute our pain and take our narrative. Our narrative was pure, for example. Imagine if you have a pure narrative. And Dr. King and all those that walked with Dr. King, you know, predominantly, you know, overall, the narrative was pure. It was true.
It was theirs.
It was true. But it's like, it's being prostituted. Now it's being mixed with everything else. And it's like, I don't think, especially when you talk to Dr. Evita King, his niece, that that's not how Dr. King felt. You know,
look at what's happening at Ferguson, or what was happening in terms of the protesting. Now the protesting has come back, but beginning when it all started, the great majority of the people that were protesting weren't even from Ferguson.
Yeah.
And they were coming in busloads, airplane loads, to be able to do exactly what you just said.
And some injustices have surfaced. Some reports are 60-something percent of the community is African-American, and the rest is not African-American, but yet like 90, 80% of what the sets are.
Of the police, yeah.
Of the tickets that were being written were written predominantly to African-Americans. And then you had a city council saying, you know, raise money, chief of police, and write tickets. And
wow.
So there was that's true. By the way, we got to say, that is like so wrong from so many levels, no matter what race it's being written. But if you're taking that and adding to it, you're only choosing my race to write it to. Mm. There is huge issues, there's huge injustices here. But you can't let people steal your true pain, your true narrative, the authenticity of the journey, because we can learn from our journey and we can take it to the cross and we can begin to have an authentic conversation about it and not let people use us because their goal is totally different than the predominantly majority of the people in America, all of us, their goal is totally different. And our goal is not to give up our rights. Our goal is not to give up our Constitution. Our goal is not to give up God. But guess what? This is what Pol Pot said in the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia when he finally took over. He said, God is dead, and today is day one.
Mm.
Every communist push ends up just like that. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also, our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program or you're saying, I wish I would have got that. I would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. And I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples. Welcome back. You know, I think about this. I want to remind you what just happened. What just happened is two police officers just got shot a few hours ago at midnight in Ferguson. Reports are that they're both alive and injured. And I want you to see this video of them being shot. They're out there protecting the protesters. First Amendment rights, which we have the right to do, which you're seeing right here behind me, the shooting footage. This is around midnight, just a few hours ago. Last night on Thursday. Hey, go to it so they can see it. You're about to hear gunshots go off.
Cops have guns drawn. It's on the hill up there. They came from behind us. Are you okay, Carl? you're just gonna stand there.
What you're looking at right here, that just happened last night at midnight, and two officers were shot. One was shot in reports are, you know, from, if you could come to me for a moment, he was shot right here in his face from 100 yards away, potentially with a pistol they're talking about, and it's lodged in the back of his neck area right here, and the other officer was shot right here in his shoulder. You can see that, and it came out between his clavicle and his spine, so it missed his spine. So, you know, praise God, we need to remember these officers in our prayer, and remember every officer in America. You know, think about this. You know, I'm talking from a perspective of being
in a law enforcement myself. I was almost 10 years in law enforcement. So I'm not talking outside of what I'm talking. No here. Think about, let's just step out of the occupation for a moment and go to your job. Did you know you could be fired at any day? Did you know your business could be closed down? You know, one day you could decide, you know, I don't want to do this job anymore. I mean, doctors are even, after all these years and all these things, doctors are saying, you know, I don't even want to do this anymore. I want to do something different. Well, if we don't understand how important our police officers are in our nation, they could just walk away. I mean, why would they want to do a job if they're not being respected? If when I said goodbye to my wife and I went on the streets to go patrol the community to keep it safe, and she's thinking, tonight, you know, Ferguson can happen to me. I mean, she's going to ask me, you know, is it really worth this change you're getting paid every hour to be able to do this? And I'm going to start pondering the thought. Well, they hate me. Because there's some bad officers that were in, now they think I am those officers. And they're saying verbally, they were saying, according to the police chief, you know, we want to hurt these guys. We want to hurt these officers. Mm. Verbally saying that. I mean, how many people, John, leave their job because there's conflict in the office?
Minor conflict.
I didn't like the way she treated me. It's like, yeah. Okay, they're hating on you.
Right.
They're saying you are what everybody, these few folks did, that you are them. And not only that, all of history, every bad thing that ever happened in history in regards to law enforcement is on your back now. So when you put that uniform on, you know, people are taking out historical anger on you. And, you know, you just may just be being a good officer, you know, doing your job. And sad to say, a U.S. Marshal just got shot and killed in Baton Rouge yesterday. His father, I believe, is a police officer, retired. His brother is a police officer. He's from Mississippi.
Wow.
He was stationed in Mississippi, but he served some time over in Baton Rouge area, which we were there during the hurricane. And he was going to serve a warrant. And as the witness said, he was just doing his job. And they were serving a warrant on a murder suspect. And that was his last, he's like 22, 23 years old, maybe 25, something like that. And you have to understand, just like you're a human being, these officers are human beings. And if you saw the hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and you watched Mayor Nagin and all the things that were going on, I mean, you saw the officers, a lot of officers just left because they had to decide, am I going to go take care of my family during this disaster? One particular officer grabbed a buggy in a store and just started shopping.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there except for her.
He wasn't exchanging
currency.
And she
was in uniform. I mean, she was in uniform. You know what I'm saying? She didn't even bother to take her uniform off to be able to go shopping. And what I'm trying to say is, if in fact, another thing is what happened with this 99% thing. This is the same thing happening again and again. It's called Saul Alinsky tactics. It is rules for radicals. You know, you got to hear the series, you know, children, organizers of the night versus organizers of the day. You need to hear it as a Christian because we got to have a Christian response. And it has these 13 tactics that our president taught for years, that Hillary Clinton taught, that her thesis on it in college. They were mentored by Saul Alinsky. And we got to have a light perspective to some dark, you know, demonic thing trying to come against us. And Dr. King had a very good perspective on how to respond to the most evil, evil things that were going on.
In fact, we believe we have a quote for Dr. King.
Yes. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. You know, this is one thing Dr. King, you know, said. He says, you know, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Mm. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Now, this is so important. This is so important because as Christians, we're known by our love, not by our politics, not by our political party, not by our race, not by how big our building is, not by how much money I have or don't have. As remember, Jesus said this woman that had a very little that gave everything she had gave more than anybody else. So it has nothing to do with all that. And the rich young ruler who walked away from God. I mean,
with everything he had.
And so when we understand what's going on here, that we have to, what is your goal? And some people don't even think about what they want. They're just acting out of anger. They say, don't discipline out of anger. Well, don't do anything out of anger because the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
And they feel because they're angry, they're justified in their behavior. But you're not justified just because you're angry.
Right.
There are consequences of the things that you do.
Right. And you think about this, John. I mean, you think it takes Some if you count the how much time it took, you know, for hurricanes to actually come and come onto the shore, it's like hours. But it's taken years to recover from them. But some tornadoes can last for 40 seconds, but it can take 40 years to recover from them. You know, they're getting you all worked up, these people who have other motives that are not your motives. You know, they're not using godly values and the Constitution to be able to get you to a place where you can be president or where you can be a congressman or you can be a business owner. But they're doing something that's, they're using a painful narrative, and all of a sudden you're going to get all worked up and you're going to get angry and you're going to say something that may take you 40-year sentence to get over with.
Isn't that a shame? Yeah. Manipulating, using someone else's pain, co-opting it, and then steering that thing into the thing that they want to do. But they're using your anger, your pain, your frustration, and you're the one going to suffer the consequences because you're going to react, you know, in a bad way.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about when we get back. This program that we did called "Don't Swing" from the bully pulpit, because right now everything is trying to get you to swing. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So there's a whole dark spiritual realm going on, trying to get us divided, get us polarized, get us hating on each other instead of saying, wait a minute, as a Christian, you know, we lay down our life. He says, when somebody borrows from you, wants to borrow something, you loan it to them. I mean, when people take your stuff, still love them. When people ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. We're not with the world's mindset. Well, really we are, but we got to repent for that. You go, wait a minute. If I get on God's mindset, if I go his way, his path, then it will be like the 8-year-old Miriam in Iraq where she's going, I forgive them.
Wow.
How many people would be free today from captivity when you just forgive the people and the people, maybe not even wrong Jew, but you generationally, you heard it and you're just carrying that, carrying the sins of the fathers, just carrying. So you know what? I forgive them. I let them go. I'm not going to let my present, my past, my parents' past, my grandparents' past, I'm not going to let it hold me hostage for my future. I mean, with God, all things are possible. We're a majority. We can do this thing. Life is limited. And the greatest days of the church are ahead. If we will wake up as a nation, the greatest days of America is still ahead. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Hello to the Gulf Coast, out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think. And
very humid. Hot. Mm.
But so if you have a sailboat, write to us and I'll be some, I don't know, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. You know, John and I both got to go because you got to sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Bounce the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put, he doesn't have
it. He can't go.
No.
No.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're looking at what's going on, this tragedy that's taking place. The thing that I love, I watched the live interview of the police chief there, and it was done so well, and how they're approaching it is justly. And this is a dangerous time, you know, officers, there's a code. It's called, you know, your signal codes. If there's a DUI, there's a code for that, driving under the influence. If there's a murder, there's a code for that. But it's a code for officers in trouble. It's different for different ones, but ours was signal 36. Signal 36 means officer down, everybody stop what you're doing and go there. And people, you know, so you see people, a lot of officers show up and people say, I can't believe there's so many officers here. Well, if you're the officer who just got shot,
send everybody.
You know, it's like, thank you. Because you think about it, when especially with the budget restraints, I mean, think if you're in Detroit right now, you're half manned in regards to the number of officers you need. The officers work together. I mean, you can outrun a car, but you can't outrun a radio. And so that's what they work together in the context of all that. And so it's not about the number of officers that show up. Actually, the greater the number, normally the better it is. The lesser the number, the more force what officer would have to use. For example, if officers got on witness stands, and so talking about my law enforcement experience, and this one particular guy, he was a wrestler from the days past, and so he was huge. He was like 6 foot. For he was, you know, Pat knows him. We got him to give him a ticket.
Got his autograph.
Yeah, I got a ticket. Yeah, right. And so, yes, but I'm not going to say his name. Thank you. And so,
no, your poster cannot come out right
yeah,
now.
right. Yeah, and he served his time. Anyway, so when he got on the stand, because he was 6 foot four, and remember, it's a government by the people and for the people that you appear before a jury of your peers. Even though the officer arrests you, an officer, you know, has a probable cause to believe that you have or potentially, you know, have committed a crime. But they still have to present this case before the state attorney and before a jury, which is you. And so what we found out is that from my experience, when the jury saw 6 foot four, 200 and, you know, 30 something pounds, sorry. When they saw him on the stand versus another a female officer that we had, that she was about, she was very small, about John size. And those are pillows. Anyway, when she got on the stand, then the jury would look and think, you know, you're so big, you know what I'm saying, that you shouldn't have had to use that kind of force. But she's so little, if she did not respond with that kind of force, she would have been hurt. She would have been damn. And so you understand, right?
Absolutely.
When you're little, you got like Israel's like, I gotta hit, we gotta hit hard. Yeah. We have one chance.
The big ones can't do nothing. They're never tested, you know.
Right. And so when you have more officers there, you have less likely that response. But the fewer officers that are there, that they'll have to respond. They're going to have to to enforce the law. So they're going to have to use greater force. And so a larger number of officers, a better thing. Now, if you're planning on harming someone and doing things, damaging, shooting, fighting, and all that kind of stuff, you're going to go to jail. But that's what the law's there for. That's why we have a law enforcement, you know. And but we need to begin to appreciate, I'm telling you, you know, we had the benefit of having, you know, internet filter systems, and that, you know, it doesn't filter out everything, but every now and then when we don't have it, we're surprised what it filters out. And so somebody's doing the hard work to keep a lot of stuff from coming into our computers, viruses and all that kind of stuff. Well, when I was a police officer, here I was, you know, I would go to church, you know, and I'd hang out with fellowship and we'd sing, but most people in the church, they had no idea what happened outside. They had no idea what happened when they were sleeping. And it's like, we're supposed to be in the world, you know? And I was trying to balance between, it's two totally different worlds.
I can imagine.
And because I was literally out, you know, in bars and in, you know, all the fights and crime and, you know, and that was just in the church's homes. No. No, I'm messing with you. But I had to, you have to go to where the crime's at. I don't have a lot of time. It was this one particular call I got. It was way out. I mean, it was way out, and like way out in the country type area. And there was a bar, and in this bar, they had the old wooden saloon type slatted floors in it. And that's how old it was, right? And there was supposedly, you know, somebody's in there, you know, fighting or doing whatever, and the sign. And so I'm walking into this middle of nowhere. You don't have a lot of officers backing it because I was a deputy, not a police officer. Police officers normally have 30, 40 of those guys together. And I had to walk in that place, and you're thinking the whole time, you're like, man, I hope I live through this. You know, I hope I live through this. And you think about it. What an awesome thing for a man or a woman to say, you know what? I will ride around on my horse. I will ride around in my car, and I will patrol so you can sleep. I will look around your community to make sure that you don't get hurt. And police officers are so important. Without this sense of security and without the sense of the officers feeling that we appreciate them, and we could deal with the unjust officers. I mean, that's happening all the time. Just deal with it. I mean, everybody works with somebody, you know, that doesn't need to be working there. Everybody's office has somebody like that. And the police officer, you know, it's no different. But everybody in the office is not bad. You know, 99.9% of the officers are, you know, not that way. And they're not historically what past officers were. This is a whole new generation. These are the boys and girls you went to school with.
Right.
And so begin to pray for those in law enforcement, because we need a lot of wisdom, because they're like that filter system. And you don't know what the filter system's filtering. You know, you don't realize why your computer is able to make it and not go down by a computer virus, because somebody's filtering out those computer viruses. But understand this. The second you have no filtration on your computer, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a virus and you're going to lose your computer. Guess what's going to happen if we don't have law enforcement protection? If they don't trust us and we don't trust them, they're a human being just like we are. These officers that got shot last night, we got to pray for them, and we got to pray for other officers that they would not lose their confidence, and that we will make outward gestures. And just like the officer that just got shot and killed, the marshal in Baton Rouge yesterday, we got to be able to say, you know, just like the witness said, he goes, he was just doing his job. He was just doing his job. And guess what? His wife was just about to tell him that she was pregnant with their child. And he's dead now. Listen, we got to stand up for those who stand up for us. And every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, law enforcement stands up for us. Yeah, there's some bad apples, but 99.5% of whatever not. And believe me, without that filtration, we're going to get a virus. America's going to get a virus, and it's going to be very bad, especially what the Lord is showing us what's coming this summer. But we can get through this. Even though we're going to go through something, yeah, we can get through it, because God can take us through it. If we listen to those words of Dr. King, what he said, you know, hate can't drive out hate, only love can do that. And darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Let's just pray right now. Father God, we just lift up these officers, Lord, that have been shot. Lord, that you would heal them, that you would prevent any damage to their bodies. Lord, that you would give our officers and our country, every state, every city, every county, confidence, Lord God, and show us how to honor them and the things that they're doing, Father God. Lord, and this officer just lost this wife just lost her U.S. Marshal, Deputy Marshal husband, Father God, in Baton Rouge, that you would comfort her and this child that he never got a chance to see, Father God. Lord, show us, Lord, show us the wisdom like Dr. King walked out, Father God, how to move constitutionally sound and walk as a Christian under your rule and your leadership in our life. Dear Lord, we ask you, end abortion, send revival. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget, VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFNTV in the daily video program, and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it, with over 3,000 highlights that are available for you. So that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper, because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles, and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN torch, where you can look up prophecy. All the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation, and with hopes and prayers and belief that a Third Great Awakening is going to touch our nation. And the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds actions that are turned away from God, hearts that are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always. Because yes. He mm-hmm. is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.